Why should we fear what man can do? The Lord says, I am with you, like I promised. I will not leave you nor fail you. Only trust me, because I am the strength of your life. And you'll find your security in me. I am your refuge, your fortress, your strong tower, and your deliverer. Hallelujah. And again, did I not tell you that I would never leave you nor forsake you? Believe my word, and you'll have peace. My peace. My peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live, peace to live. My peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace the world cannot understand. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know. You know, the Lord wants you to lay your burden down here right now. Let it go. Take all your failures, your mistakes, your regrets, and lay it down here and now at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. His blood avails for you today. Hallelujah. Receive forgiveness and thank Him for it. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's no condemnation in you. Hallelujah. Do you know the Lord never gets tired of forgiving? He'll never stop forgiving you. Just call on Him. Amen. Learn from it. Be wiser from it. Amen. But the Lord won't stop forgiving you if you call on Him. Hallelujah. Don't listen to that other voice. Amen. The voice of that liar. Hallelujah. And He's trying to rob you of your inheritance, you know. But God wants to give you the kingdom. It's His pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes, even in our faults, in our weaknesses, our idiosyncrasies, our uniqueness, God's still there with and for you. All we need to do is call on Him. Hallelujah. Amen? And say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy. And He does. And thank Him for it. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much, Lord, for the cross. You bore our sins on the tree. Lord, that we might walk in freedom today. Hallelujah. Free from the power and the penalty of sin. In Jesus' name. In Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, I just pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you will fill me with the understanding and knowledge of your will. Grant me the words to speak today. God, give me the ability to hear clearly. I thank you, Lord, that you are still speaking today by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts today. Lord, remove those things within us, Lord God, that would hinder us from hearing and understanding clearly. Father, we know that we cannot know truth except that, Lord, you reveal it to us by your Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you just to minister to each heart today. Take the things of Jesus, reveal them to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Several things happened to me recently that have kind of triggered some good things. I've heard of people getting triggered over some negative things, but you know, sometimes God does things that kind of triggers us or reminds us of things and brings back to our remembrance certain things, even some certain past events in our lives. And sometimes those things that God has done in the past can be reminders of something that maybe he wants to revisit in the now. And one of those is really renewal. As we're talking about, sometimes we hear so much about revival that it loses its meaning. You know, revival, what does that mean? And it really means to return to life, doesn't it? Right? Return to life. And it's easy to get into a routine or into a rut to where we just start doing things because of tradition. We become ritualistic without even realizing it sometimes, even in Pentecostal circles. We do things a certain way because, well, we've just always done things a certain way. And we can get sometimes stuck in a place where, you know, maybe at one time God was in it, but he's no longer there. He's doing something a little different now. And are we willing to go with him? Are we willing to stretch and grow spiritually? And God's going to take you out of your comfort zone. How many know that's true? In order to bring you into what he wants, he has to train us and develop us through, sometimes through trials and tests along the way. Tests are important. Amen. Without tests, there's no promotion. And we don't like it when we find ourselves in a test. But tests are part of the process that God uses in our lives to develop us spiritually and prepare us for what he has up ahead. Not only for what he has in this earth, but for eternity. God is getting his people ready. He's making us beautiful for him. Amen. We're being conformed into the likeness of Jesus, the Son. Amen. We want to be like him when we grow up. And so we hope that we grow up. Amen. And come out of childhood. It's, you know, there's a time, amen, to be on the bottle, and there's a time to get onto the meat, all right? And God wants us to graduate. He wants us to move on from where we've always been, because sometimes where we've been is a comfortable place because it's a predictable place. And I just kind of like being here because I kind of know what to expect. And sometimes you can get this mentality even when we come to church that, well, we're going to have a few songs, we'll have an offering, we'll have a testimony or whatever, and maybe a message and go home. And you know what? If God wants to just say, you know what? We're going to break the mold today and we're going to do something totally different. Are we okay with that? We won't be shocked or anything, right? Or I really want to stay flexible, if you will, in the spirit to whatever God wants to do and how he wants to do it. I don't want to get caught up in things that are easy for me, predictable for me, comfortable for me. God has to take us out of the comfort zone often, to get us into a place where we will learn how to grow in him and learn how to find rest really in him and not in our environment, not in ourselves and not in other people, but in him alone. Isn't that true? Because as a baby, you know, we're always like asking somebody else for help, and we need that. I need people to talk to. Amen. But there comes a time when you need to know how to get a hold of God yourself. You need to know how to get into the presence of God. Amen. And receive from the Lord. Amen. God wants us not to be depending so much on each other than we are on him. Now, God will work through brothers and sisters. Amen. He will impart his grace through the body of Christ to us. And that's important. We're here today. Hopefully we're going to receive something today from the Lord. Amen. I pray and I believe that God will do that. God has something for each one of us. How many here have already received from the Lord this morning? Amen. I feel a refreshing in my spirit. Hallelujah. Because in his presence, there is that joy, isn't there? He is our refreshing, by the way. It's not a thing of God. It's God himself who is our refreshing. What we need, guys, is to really focus on Jesus. Amen. And him alone. This needs to be about Jesus and him alone, not about a thing that we do. And if we miss Jesus, then we've missed the whole point of why we were even here today. People come and go without ever encountering Jesus because their hearts are closed, because their minds are distracted. They're playing the whole time. Or in their minds, they're allowing their minds to go in other places. How many know that communication requires attention? It requires focus. And God wants to take us out of Twitterville, amen, into his rest, into his presence. Hallelujah. So we have to discipline our minds even, amen, to tune out and shut off the other things, the distractions, the things that will prevent us from receiving what God has for us, because God knows that we have need of him. And we worship him not because God needs our worship, but because he knows we need to worship him, because we need him. Amen. Watchman Nee said, "The cross accomplishes all, but the Holy Spirit administers to man what it has accomplished. The cross grants us position. The Holy Spirit gives us experience. The cross gives us position where in Christ in the new birth, right? But the Holy Spirit gives us experience. The Christian life is to be a life of experiences. We should be encountering, we should be experiencing God daily. We should live in expectation, amen, of God's presence and God's provision and God's guidance and God's help along the way, amen. But we've got to get past ourselves. This is the difficulty. And so often, guys, we're not really worshiping past ourselves. You know, we can sing songs together. We can, you know, have music that we enjoy. We can even listen to praise worship. And some of the praise worship, I'm just going to be just right out there with this, that I'm hearing today. It may be peppy, it may be upbeat, it may be well orchestrated, but some of it is just a bunch of fluff. There's no substance to it. You know? So we need to find where God is at. What is God doing? And join him in that, because that's where life is. So the Lord has to be the center of it all. He has to be our primary focus. When we're here, we are here to seek the Lord. That means I have to get over my problems, over my issues, over what happened on the way in this morning. But things that will come in and try to, if you will, derail you. You know, because the enemy is a thief. And you know, he has a certain amount of understanding and even foreknowledge. And so he tries to abort what God wants to accomplish in your life by causing distractions. And one of the greatest ways he's distracting people today, and I'm not talking about people that are on their Bible and their phone and all that, but it's just getting people preoccupied with just playing on phones, even while a message is being preached. Because the Holy Spirit wants to impart something to us. And in the areas where we are lacking that understanding, that's where the enemy will hit you. Because he can only operate in the darkness. He can only operate in the dark areas of our hearts. So if we are being blinded or distracted by the enemy from receiving the revelation, the truth, the knowledge, the light of the Word, hello, then the places that remain dark, the enemy can continue to camp out and do his destructive work. And there are a lot of people who are going to hell. They're blind. They don't even realize their true condition, because the enemy has got them so wrapped up and so caught up in the idolatry of other things or lesser things taking the place of God in our hearts. Is that making sense? G. Raymond Carlson, he was one of the superintendents of the Assemblies of God when I first came into the Assemblies of God. And that's before I became Church of God. He said this: if the Holy Spirit is not allowed to actively direct the operation of the church by controlling the lives of its members, the church will have lost its dynamic. That is so true. And guys, the enemy is working all the time to try to get us again distracted and to focus on the wrong things rather than on Christ. What is revival? Again, it's returning to life. You know, really, when we are in revival, when we are in personal revival, it means that we have woken out of, I hate that word anymore, awakened out of carelessness and apathy. You know, if we are apathetic, if we are even complacent in our Christian walk, it means that we lack the life of God. Somebody say amen. And so that should be a sign to me that I need to put away the toys, the distractions, and I need to get with God. I need to draw near to God because he promised to draw near to me. But it says I need to take the initiative to set my heart to seek the Lord. You see, people want the blessing of God, but they don't want to have to pay anything for it. They don't want to have to invest of their time, of their energy, of their lives, that they may receive of the greater treasure that God wants to impart to us. And when you discover and taste how good the Lord is, amen, he just whets your appetite for more of him. Hallelujah. So true Christianity is not biologically transmitted, by the way. Being raised in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Some people think I go to church, therefore I am a Christian. No, you know that. You have to be born of the Spirit. You must be transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart into a new creation. God doesn't patch up the old thing. But guys, I believe this new generation in America, they need to experience a move of God. We have good meetings, guys, but I want to go beyond just good meetings. All right. To habitation, to glory, to the glory of God. Amen. That is coming down in such power and that people are going to be undone in the presence of God. That people that are bound are going to be liberated. Amen. That people who are lost will be found. Hallelujah. People that are sick will be instantly healed, regardless of anybody laying hands on them, because of the glory, the presence of God. People are automatically healed. So I want to go, guys, as a congregation, I want us to move from just having an event once in a while to, right, to really committing ourselves to seek the Lord daily and to pray for a greater, if you will, weight of God's glory to come upon us. Not only for us, but America needs a move of God. Amen. America needs an awakening. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. But God has placed you and I strategically and positionally in a place to where we are to call in the reign of God in the earth realm. We are to call the reign of God into our city, into our homes. Amen. Into our own lives. And so God waits for someone who will cooperate with him in what he wants to accomplish, to set themselves apart for him. That means sanctify yourself. Amen. So that you can be a vessel that God can work in and through. But not only that, God wants to show up. Amen. In a sovereign move of his glory. And that's what I hunger for. I've tasted and seen. I've tasted of that. And once you do, you're never satisfied with anything less. You find out that God is really good, and it's not just a cliche. He is amazing. He is awesome. He is wonderful. He is beyond description. We are incapable of really expressing who he is. We try. We give him praise. We give him glory. But you have to know and experience God to know that he truly is these things that we speak of, that we praise him about. Are you hearing me? God wants you to encounter him in such a way that you're not going to be the same again. That you have such an excitement that I can't wait to get together with God's people again. I can't wait, amen, to pray and seek the Lord and be with Jesus. Having a personal time with him is something you delight in. I got to go pray. It's that time again. I go over here and pray. And it's like, oh, we get to pray. Hallelujah. We get to have time with God anytime, any place. I mean, you know, we host the Holy Spirit. We are his temple. Hallelujah. God wants to walk in and through us. He wants you to draw near and experience the reality of who he is. See, some people have an intellectual understanding of God. They have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of scripture, a lot of Bible. And I believe Bible is important. Can you say amen? Amen. We should be in the word of God. Amen. But what we want is to encounter the God of that word. So the word becomes flesh in us, if you will. It becomes a reality Not just a theory, not just something to argue or debate somebody about so you can win a prize or get kudos about how much you know. It's not about that. When you are encountering God, you're encountering such love that it'll change the way you see everything and the way you see people, and you'll have a heart for people. You'll care more about others than yourself. You'll come to church not for you, but for somebody else. That's revival. You know, guys, we cannot be full of Jesus and not live like Jesus. Our children, they need to experience the power of God. So don't give up. Don't get weary. Amen. Keep on sowing. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Because I've seen times when I've had to sow and I've had to, if you will, hoe, you know, to break up the fallow ground for a season of time. But you just keep at it. Amen. You keep sowing and pouring and know that God in His time, amen, will bring the harvest. One day. Hallelujah. I can remember sitting in a meeting, not sitting, actually, I was standing, I was in the pulpit that day. But well, we were in a meeting. And just all of a sudden, there's just like, the glory of God came in such a way. I mean, the Lord is with us here, amen? The angels are here with us. But there is more to come. More to come. By the way, the title of this message is, It's Time to Return. It's time to return. But the glory of God came in and began to touch people. And people just began to get just blasted. I don't know how else to say it. In the glory of God. People got extremely happy. They started to laugh and have a good time. Believe that. People that were gloomy, we had one woman who she had lost a son and she hadn't laughed in, I don't know how long, but it had been weeks. God broke through. Guys, there's so much more that God wants to do here and in you. Not only in you, but through you. But it's going to require the presence. It's going to require a heart after God who's willing to say, God, I'm willing to put these things aside that I might know you better, that I might receive from you what I need to do my mission here on the earth. And guys, when God is really moving in your heart, when you are in revival, it's not a chore to serve him. It's a delight. It's a desire to serve him. If you don't have a desire to serve God, it means you lack the Spirit of God, the power of God in your life. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said this. He defines revival. Revival is essentially a manifestation of God. It has the stamp of deity on it, which even the unregenerate and uninitiated are quick to recognize. When you and I are in revival, the world will know it. The world will know there's something different about you. Are you hearing me, somebody? But guys, let me just say this, and I've witnessed this firsthand. Revival is not always welcome, even by Christians, because it comes at a cost. Not everyone is willing to pay, because it means a denial of my self-will in order to receive that, to be in a place to receive that. Selfish ambition, laziness, prayerlessness, and an unwillingness to forsake our sin are all hindrances to genuine revival. Are you hearing that? Selfish ambition, making it about me, prayerlessness, unwillingness to forsake my sin are all hindrances to genuine revival. You know, the Lord spoke to the children of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, and some of you will recognize this because I hear you quote it quite often. Isaiah 30 and verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. Do you understand that God is inviting us to go higher, to go deeper, to receive more? He's looking for someone that will position themselves to be a vessel for him. And guys, what we're called to do is beyond us. It requires, amen, the power of God in our own lives. But I want to get to this in a few, that there is a difference between the anointing that you have, your personal anointing, and the glory of God. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But here God is saying to Judah, your salvation lies in returning to me and resting in me and not looking to the world for help. They wanted to go back and rely, if you, and he was using it as an illustration, going back to Egypt, which means going back and now relying on the world rather than relying on the Lord. He's saying in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Quietness means a quiet state of mind, being at rest in the spirit and really putting simple trust in God. He says, if you do this, then you'll be safe and your enemies will not be able to overcome you. You know, the enemy wants to get us in panic mode. He wants us to freak out about the situations that we are faced with. Rather than going to God and resting in God and leaning back into him and saying, God, I need grace right now. I need help. I need your strength right now. Instead, he wants us to go and try to figure it out in our own reasoning and get us all stressed out and emotionally charged. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because he wants to burn you out. But God wants you to have rest, and God wants you to have strength, and he wants you to have wisdom, and he wants you to have his guidance. And so it requires you and I saying, you know what? I'm going to quit striving about this. I'm going to quit fussing about this. I'm going to quit complaining about this. Instead, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to call upon him, and I'm going to wait for my answer. My answer will come from the Lord. Amen. He is my help. The maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And God wanted his people. He wanted to help them. But they refused to submit to him. Do you know that God considers a refusal to submit to him rebellion? Is it possible that we could be rebellious? Judah rebelled. They refused to rely upon the Lord for his help. Instead, they looked to Egypt. And he said in Isaiah 30 and verse 1, he said, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. Who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Verse 2, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a type of Satan, isn't he? And to trust in the shadow of Egypt, the world. In other words, Judah had become self-sufficient. And as a result, they could not overcome their enemies. Whenever we become self-sufficient, we are in a place where we no longer have the grace to conquer or overcome or subdue our enemies. It's that simple. My strength comes from the Lord. Paul the Apostle said, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. In my realization that in me, I don't have what is required to do what God has called me to do. Amen. Then I can in position to receive the grace or the ability that God will supply me to do what God has called me to do and to overcome the enemy of my soul. It's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, right? Says the Lord. Same thing is true today. If we refuse to submit to the Lord and lean on him, then again, we're not going to be in a position to receive the grace we need to subdue our enemies. How many know that God gives his grace to the humble? But guys, sometimes people are so quick to run to the ungodly for counsel and support. I could write a book of all the people I've known that have been so quick, instead of running to God, amen, seeking godly counsel from people that know the Lord, have been walking with the Lord, have experienced a few things, learned a few things, and when immediately they run to the world for counsel and for instruction, for help. God wants to be the one to meet your need. God wants to be the one to supply your need. Amen. And to satisfy the deepest longing of your heart, your soul can only be satisfied in the Lord. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Amen. I think what's one of the things that's happened with this whole COVID thing is a lot of the things that people were used to doing and the things that they were caught up in, all of a sudden they're not doing it anymore. And they're like, well, what do I do now? I sit around, twiddle my thumbs or play video games all day long. Are you hearing me? But the things that people relied on and trusted in sometimes, in some cases, in employment. Amen. In other words, even money sometimes can take the place of God in our hearts. We have to be very careful. We have to guard against all forms of idolatry and understand that all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. Amen. My Father in heaven knows what I have need of before I even ask. But I seek Him above everything else, and He takes care of the rest. Amen. For my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But put God first in everything. Hallelujah. And if He's already first in your life, if the lesser things disappear, you're not going to be shaken. I mean, people in the world, their God just, you know, fails them. The market crashes. The thing that they trusted in has failed them. They go out and they commit suicide because what else do I have to live for except wealth? Because they don't understand that there is a higher purpose and a reason why we're here. And God is calling us, amen, to Himself. Because God is looking for a people, amen, that He can share His kingdom with. Hallelujah. And He's preparing a glorious bride, a church without spot or blemish. For that day, hallelujah, will be presented faultless before Him. Hallelujah. And so it's time to draw near to God. Yes. Discover what it is that God has for you before you run out of time. Our lives are like that hourglass, guys, the sand. The older you get, the faster the sand moves. Like, whoa, slow down a little bit here. How many of you realize that, man, just already this year has gone by? So quickly the time is flying. So what did the Lord say? Because they refused His counsel, and they would not be brought to humiliation. And God said, I'm going to bring you to humiliation and shame. You're going to find out that your gods that you trust in are really not reliable. They're not going to help you. In verse 3, He said, therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame. Because you're not trusting in the Lord, you're not submitting to Him. Instead, you're running to the world. You're running to them for help, for counsel. You're running to the government. The government's everything. To some people, the government has become their god. And that's what the government wants, because Satan controls a lot of that goes on up there. How many of you know that's true? And they want to replace God. They want to be your God. They want to be your provider. But what they'll end up being coming is our oppressor. Amen? And we're already getting a taste of that. But you know what? I believe it's time for the church to rise up and return to God. Amen. Cry out for God that He'll invade this place, invade Washington, D.C., invade the, amen, the echelons of government, move upon the judges of this nation. We want to pray, God, that the fear of the Lord will come upon these judges. Amen. That they'll bow their knee to the Most High God. Hallelujah. If it means they have to go out and eat grass for a while, whatever. Amen. Bring them to the place where they're going to realize that You are God and they are not. Hallelujah. Because only God can make America great. And that's why we were great, because of our foundation. It's time to return. It's time to return. God wants us to learn from our mistakes. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? You see, God allowed things to happen to Israel. Amen. God would judge His people. Amen. For what reason? It was always redemptive. It was always to bring them back to where they needed to be. And so today in the New Testament, if we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, God will discipline us. Amen. Because He doesn't want to lose us. He's going to allow some things to happen in our lives, but they're always good for us in the end. I don't always understand why things happen the way they do, but I do trust the Lord, and I know His heart is good. God is always good. He doesn't change. As a matter of fact, He's gooder than we are. Much gooder. Can you say amen? Amen? The key to revival, personal, corporate, is simply returning to the Lord. Here's a man named Arthur Wallace in the house in the day of his, of thy power. It says, revival is God revealing Himself to man in awesome holiness and irresistible power. It is such a manifest working of God that, hear this, that human personalities are overshadowed and human programs abandoned. Human personalities are overshadowed and human programs abandoned. when God shows up like that. Amen. It's like none of that stuff. We get rid of the fluff quick, don't we? Because we've got the substance. We've got the awesomeness of God and His glory, His presence here in us and among us. Awesome. I'm hungry for more. I want to see a mighty move of God. Hallelujah. We cannot be full of the Holy Spirit once again if we're full of ourselves. Selfish ambition. We've got to get over ourselves. You got to get past ourselves. I've said this before, but guys, we need to pray past ourselves. How many know what I'm talking about? We talk about getting in the Spirit. All right? We got to get from just intellectual, soulish prayer, amen, to Holy Ghost-inspired prayer. And that means I got to get past myself, my soul man, amen, so that my soul man is submitted to the Spirit of God in me. And then I'm praying in agreement with the will of God. And the will of God is going to be heard every time. God will answer according to His will. So when we pray, we need to pray until we break through, if you will, the veil of ourselves, get past ourselves into the realm of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's like getting, amen, from the kiddie pool splashing around to getting into the deep end. Hallelujah. To now the river's taken me, hallelujah, for the ride. I'm controlling most of it, you know, in the kiddie pool. But when you get into the deep end with God, hallelujah, then it's like, wow, we're on a trip now. And it's wonderful because it's freeing. It's life-giving. The river of God is teeming with life. Amen. Everywhere it goes, we're revived, we're refreshed. There's life in Him. Hallelujah. And we're in that place with God in the river of God. Hallelujah. We quit our struggling and our striving. We're no longer trying to do ministry or make ministry happen. It's God doing the work now. Okay, moving right along. I'm getting excited. You know, we've got to have revival in America. It's not an option. Either we're going to return to life in God or we're going to perish. God's giving us an opportunity right now. Right now for the church to arise. And the church is. Many around the country now are awakening. Amen? But we need to pray through until we see the glory of God. And that's the attraction. Jesus is the attraction. It's not the music. It's not the preacher. It's not even the preaching. Jesus is the attraction. People need Jesus. They need the Lord. So we want to present Jesus to people, amen. So we've got to be in a position to humble ourselves and allow Jesus, amen, to rule in us and to work through us. But we must first receive in order to be in a position to give. And that means I've got to pray past myself and I got to get into the place where I can secure an anointing, a personal anointing, amen. But what I want to see is more than just an individual operating in the anointing, amen. But like this brother was saying, get to a place where human personalities have nothing to do with it anymore. They fade in the presence of the glory of God. Amen. So many people are just following after personalities, you know. No, it's nothing new under the sun, right? I'm of Apollos. Right? I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. Well, I'm of Jesus. How about you? We want to make this about Jesus. And it's okay to be who you are in your personality. God made you unique. It's okay. You don't have to get weird. I'm already weird, but but I like me, you know. I'm getting... No, really. Human personalities are overshadowed. I love it. And human programs abandoned. I got this little booklet that has all these quotes from all these revivalists, you know, and the moves of God. And it's just full of richness, you know. And so I just pulled that thing and blew the dust off. I said, man, I'm going to start digging back into this. And Patty likes to bring up a lot of the historical things that have happened. And they can encourage us today. The word of the testimony can say, you know, if God did it then, He can do it now. And even sometimes as we speak about what God did then, he releases it in the now. It's like having a recalibration. We hear a song, sometimes it will recalibrate you. It'll bring you back to that place, to that old landmark. Salvation, healing, deliverance, signs, wonders, miracles. Guys, these should be the normal course of the Christian life. But you know what? It's not going to happen if we don't draw near to God. Some people, they come along for the ride. They watch other people burn for Jesus. And they just come and say, well, lay hands on me, do for me, you know. But God's saying, I want you to learn how to come to me and to receive from me. Because I want you. I want you to know me. I want to reveal myself to you. And so God wants us to get beyond relying upon other Christians and their faith to relying upon Jesus, amen, in Christ alone. I place my trust. So, you know, the Lord said, we all know this, we can quote it, but in Mark 16:17, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, I want to talk about the anointing and the glory. The anointing of God requires a vessel. And you know, the anointing means to smear on, right? To apply. When they anointed prophets, priests, and kings in the Old Testament, right? They would anoint with oil to smear on. Representative of what the anointing and the Spirit of God would come upon them after they were anointed by the priest, right? Or the prophet. But the anointing will drain the giver and empower the receiver. So when I operate in my anointing, I come to God, amen, and I pray and I ask God for the anointing, and the Lord gives me what I need. And then after I'm done praying for people, I'm kind of like, I need to go home and rest. Are you hearing me? But when the glory of God comes, and I can testify to this, when there's a greater manifestation of the Spirit and of His power in a corporate setting, even as this, when you're functioning in that glory realm, amen, you're not going to be spent afterwards. You actually walk out of there, you're feeling better than when you came in. Even if you're doing the ministering. Why? Because it's not you just draining, amen, out from your anointing that God gave you, amen. But it's now you're in the glory of God to where everything becomes easier. Amen. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So that's where my heart is today. I want to encourage every one of us here. We've got some things planned coming up here. Some time we're going to be setting aside to seek the Lord as a congregation. And not everybody's going to want to do it. They're not going to want to pay the price, the sacrifice to do it. But I want to pray for a mighty move of God, not just for us, but because this nation, this city, amen, this whole Northwest needs a move of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to see God moving in Olympia. Hallelujah. Amen. In that capital, upon that governor, I'm praying for his soul. Amen. That the Lord will get a hold of him and his family and save him. Amen. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, but we need to pray that the Lord will intervene in our government. Hallelujah. It's absolutely been, I don't need to tell you this, but it's actually been stunning what we're witnessing in Washington, D.C. these days. But that's what it's like without God, see? That's life without God. People do insane things and think it's normal. I used to do insane things and think it's normal too. How about you? Now hear this. Moses, was he not anointed by God? But Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. He had the anointing upon him, right? To be a leader of God's people. But he said, Lord, show me your glory. Hallelujah. So your anointing is your personal gifting. But the glory is the manifest presence of God on earth. The cloud by day, the fire by night. The glory of God went before the camp of Israel. Amen. And rested where? On the ark. We need to see today, because guys, how many know that was not just in this historical event, that God is still doing that today? That God is showing up. But he's showing up where he's really wanted, where he's really desired, where people are hungry. Amen. For a move of God. That's where he's going to show up. Now, if we're satisfying ourselves in all the silly stuff of the world, it ain't going to happen. Amen. But if we're willing to put these things aside and say, you know what? There's nothing more important to me than a move of God right now. We need it. Our children need it. Amen. God can turn this situation around in America. But it's going to require the people of God getting serious. Really crying out to the only one who can really help us now. We're at that place. We need a miracle. We need divine intervention. We need a mighty move of the Spirit of God. We need an awakening. Not just an event that we do once a year, but an awakening in our spirits. The church to come alive again. Exodus 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. It's going to take a true move of God. It's going to require the glory of God to shake this city, to shake our nation. God can move on nations. How many know that's true? It's the Shekinah glory of the Lord. But it's a result of the manifest presence of God. We all know about Azusa Street. Many of us have studied about Azusa Street. That was part of your curriculum, you know, when I was studying with the Assemblies of God. You got to know about Azusa Street, you know, how they sat on tobacco boxes in an old warehouse, you know, and then they just prayed and sought the Lord, and people were hungry and for more of God. They were getting dissatisfied with just the traditions and the deadness of their local churches. And they said, man, there's got to be more than this. And they started reading the word and they say, well, look at the book of Acts, you know, and God moved in power. And where's the power? Where are the miracles? Where are the signs and wonders today? And they said, we're going to get serious about this and we're going to commit ourselves. And day after day after day, they just got together and they started seeking God and crying out to God. And suddenly, another suddenly happened. Hallelujah. And there's testimonies of the children actually playing in the glory in those meetings. It was like this heavy glory of in this cloud. They would go and they would put their hands up in it, and they were just, and everybody in that place was just healed and delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and prophesying, because it was, they were in the place of really of such a manifest presence of God. They were totally at rest. Yes, Lord. The Jesus movement, we all know about how God was moving sovereignly. And throughout all the great revivals of history, it required, amen, the manifest presence, the glory of God had come and rested on, usually upon an individual. Started out with an individual, right? Starting a prayer meeting. We're going to get together, we're going to pray every day at noon. What was his name?
Jeremy Lamphere.
1857. Look it up. Guys, how many want to experience this? You know, when Solomon dedicated the temple, we remember this, right? What happened? 2 Chronicles 5:13. Indeed, it came to pass. Listen, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. The glory came so that the priest could not continue ministering. Because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Guys, when the glory of God comes, no one has to lay hands on you to be healed. The sick are healed. Nobody has to inquire whether or not a person has a demon in them. Amen. When the glory of God comes, the demons are going to act up automatically. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you just take authority and cast them out. Sometimes you don't even have to cast them out. They just get out of there. Are you hearing me? Ministers don't have to go home tired from operating in the anointing when the glory shows up. But the glory of God shows up when people deny themselves and they come together, just like in Solomon's time, just like in the book of Acts. They came together in one accord, in unity, They sought the Lord together. They worship and they seek the Lord wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. That means nothing else but Jesus now. Are you hearing me? Somebody say nothing else but Jesus. That's what we need. Nothing else but Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's be like Moses. Let's ask God to show us his glory. Hallelujah. And here, even after the day of Pentecost, remember the church again, they had to pray. And so we know that it wasn't just one event. It was many events throughout history. Amen. But when people of God knew that they were under persecution, they needed God's help. Amen. Persecution can be a good thing because it'll bring people to desperation, and then desperation, they cry out and God shows up. Hallelujah. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. So yes, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive an anointing, but we are to operate in our anointing. Amen? In our gifting. But when the glory of God falls, it is God doing the work, many times independent of man, sovereignly. Dr. Wilbur Smith gave 9 characteristics, and we're not going to go through them all today. I know you're saying thank you. Of revival in Scripture. Number one, they occurred in days of deep dark moral darkness and national depression. Are we there here? Began with an individual who yielded himself to become the agent used of God. Third, each revival rested on the word of God. Four, all resulted in a return to the worship of God. Five, each witnessed the destruction of idols where they existed. Here's a big one. Six, each revival resulted in a separation from sin. In each revival, they return to offering sacrifices. How do we give our sacrifices today? We offer our bodies back to God as living sacrifices. Amen? We offer sacrifices of praise, of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Almost all revivals show a restoration of joy and gladness. One of the characteristics of true move of God is there's going to be great joy. Great joy will come upon the people. Happy time. Each revival was followed by a period of great national revival. So there it is today. The church is going to be the salt and the light, the influence that's going to shift the way things are in this nation. How many know, guys, that there's actually only a minority that are causing all the problems in this country right now? Because they're strategically placed in positions of influence. But the majority, guys, there's many of us. There's many more with us than against us. Can you say amen? God wants us to seek him, call out, cry for the, amen, for the glory of God to come, for heaven to invade the earth. And so in order to see this, I'm going to finish with this. We need to deny ourselves. We have to be willing to discipline ourselves to seek the Lord. James 4:8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. For your loyalty, listen, is divided between God and the world. Here's the problem. We've got to get our loyalty right. We've got to make God our priority again. He needs to be first in our lives. Can you do that? Are you willing to let go of the things God says to let go of, that you might see a move of God? Psalms 105:4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Proverbs 7:15, so I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, says the Lord, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you what? Search for me with all your heart. Amos 5:4, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Everybody say, seek me, and live. How do we live? We live in God. We return to God. Life in God. Amen. Pray through. You need a breakthrough. Amen. Don't just, well, now I lay me down to sleep. Amen. You need to pray. Amen. Until you get into the realm of the glory of God. Amen. And you don't have to go to a church meeting to get that. You can have the glory of God in your room. Amen. Or wherever you seek the Lord. Amen. But the key is that we set ourselves apart for Him to seek His face so that we might come back to life and be influencers once again in this nation, because God wants to do something in America and He's choosing you and I to partner with Him. Will you say yes? You can't manufacture this, guys. You can't hype it up. Like Mario Murillo said, it's not about big screens, skinny jeans, and fog machines. You know, right? It's all this fluff and all this stuff that people do to entertain people. Guys, we're before an audience of one. Jesus. Jesus at the center. It's all about Jesus. Let's return, amen, to where we're here to seek the face of the Lord. Amen. To seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Not just His hand. God, give me. But Lord, I want You. We want Your presence. We want to see Your glory fall in this room. Hallelujah. And God, not only here, but in our nation. Hallelujah. But Lord, it would be wonderful if You would just pour out Your glory here in a way that we've never encountered yet thus far. I've been in some tremendous meetings, guys, but I want to go from just having good meetings to a visitation and a habitation of God that's ongoing. Hallelujah. That people are going to say, what's going on, man? That place is on fire. Actually, it's not. There's sometimes the glory of God will show up and they'll call the fire department. They'll come out. They think the place is on fire because they see it's a supernatural flame coming out of the roof of that thing. Hallelujah. How many know that's what we need, right? We want to burn for Jesus, but we need the glory. We need the fire of God. Hallelujah. To reignite our hearts. We just stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can start fires. Hallelujah. You can't light anybody if you ain't lit. Whew. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He is our righteousness, for they shall be filled, right? So let's take a moment. Hallelujah. The Lord is here. He's with you right now. He's waiting for you and for me to respond in the affirmative, to say, yes, Lord, I'm here because I need You and I want You. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than anything, I need You more. I need You more, Lord. I need You more, Lord. More than yesterday. More than words can say. More than the air I breathe. More than the song I sing, more than anything. I need You. Just tell Him, Lord, I need You. Lord, root out of me anything that would hinder, anything that would come between us. Topple every idol in my heart. Crush it to powder in Jesus' name. God, we just pray Your Spirit, Your glory to fall in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, have Your way here. Lord, prepare us to be tabernacle for You, to be Your vessels, God, burning ones, Lord, that are on fire for You, that are consumed by Your love, Father God, that cannot help but share Your love with others, to speak Your truth, Father. God, we ask You help. God, take us past the outer court. Take us past ourselves. Take us past just the shallow sing-along, God, into the deep places. Take us, Lord, into the holy place. The secret place of the Most High. Take us in, God. Take us higher and take us deeper. That all of our worries, all of our fears, all of our insecurities will be washed away. And we'll have perfect peace and comfort and love. Your love will be shed abroad in our hearts. And God, we will love more than our lives. Your love will consume us, Lord. And we'll be willing to say yes to anything that You ask without hesitation. God, I ask You to make each one of us, men and women after your own heart. Lord, give us that heart of David, the giant killer. Father, we know that you are preparing a bride of people even now. But God, we're asking that you bring us to the position, to the place where, Lord, we will be available to receive what you have for us. That we'll be in a position to receive from you. That we will truly humble ourselves before you. That we will get over ourselves. That we'll even topple the idol of self-importance. That it might be you that we seek to esteem to make you famous in the earth, Lord. Do a work in me. Do a work in us. God, we want to see a visitation and a habitation of your Spirit here. To such a degree, Lord, that we can't wait to come together in this place. And what we receive here, God, we can take abroad. As we enter the mission field, as we leave this place today, Lord, we commit ourselves and our days, our future to you, Lord. And we pray, Holy Father, your kingdom come and your will be done on the earth as in heaven, in each one of our lives and in our families, in our community, in our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.